Greetings in the Father's name to all of you. Welcome, sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll be reading Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. It reads like this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
Amen.
We've been talking these past weeks about the fall of man and Lucifer and about the chains that bind us, sin.
Morning.
Good morning.
My part of the message today, is this working okay?
Yes.
My part of the message today is entitled Bondage and Shackles. We got visual aids. What I like to do, even in, sometimes in the classroom, is when we're going into a new subject or a subject that's next in line, I like to kind of let everybody think a little bit about what we've talked about most recently that kind of ties into what we're doing. We're kind of on a track here with some connected messages, and this is week three of that path. And so what we've discussed so far 2 weeks ago was who God is and how big he is. Then last week, we heard about Lucifer, who had glory, some glory from God, a lot of glory from God, and he fell and is now Satan the devil. And we also heard that God created man and woman to be in his image, but because of the deception of Satan, man and woman also fell. So we're at a point here where we need to talk about what sin does to us and what it does to our lives and the people around us. I want to start with a part of a verse that focuses on this topic, a portion of Romans 5:12. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all have sinned." Adam and Eve sinned, and because of their sin, all men and women sin. And we could probably spend hours talking about examples of sin in the Bible. I don't have hours, so we won't do that. But I just want to mention a couple of very visible examples of sin that we've talked about probably for years and years in our lives. We can start. I think I'm going chronological here. I got a couple, three from the Old Testament. Noah and the flood and what that was all about. In Genesis 6, we read that God said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race that I have created." That's how angry God was because of the sin involved in their lives. Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, he was very upset over their sins, Genesis 18 and 19. And then we have one of the heroes of the Old Testament, David, King David. In as close as he was to God, he committed sins of adultery, deception, and murder. And we know all about that with his story and his relationship with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. New Testament, just name three names, and we're all familiar with where they were in their walk with Christ or how they got to their walk with Christ. Judas Iscariot was one of the chosen 12, and he betrayed the Lord. It's a story we all know. Peter, the rock, right? He denied Christ three times. And Paul. Somebody over here always says, my man Paul. Paul was murdering and harassing and persecuting Christians in the early church before God literally knocked them off his feet, right? Now let's fast forward to 2016 and what our world's all about. Again, let's look at the big stuff. You can talk about big sins and you can talk about little sins. A good part of my life, that was something I was supposed to be keeping track of. Well, that's just a little sin. I don't have to worry about that much. Or, oh no, that's a big one. That's the one. I gotta do a little bit more to receive grace for that one. But sin is sin, right? But think about the school shootings that we hear about and have heard about over the last several years. All you gotta do is say the name of the school and it'll bring memories back to you. Columbine, Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, Northern Illinois. And it's of note that relative to Columbine, there's a faith-based movie that's about to be released in a matter of days called I'm Not Ashamed. As I was looking through that to get the right name of it, as you would expect, the many folks in other circles outside of Christianity are trying to stop the film and boycott where it goes. We have murder on the streets in our cities. We're right here, Chicago. Every night on the news, what do we hear? Somebody else has been murdered. In 2016, at this point, I looked this up this morning, there's over 600 homicides already in 2016 in the city of Chicago. We have religious terrorism. Everybody here still can vividly remember 9/11, and ISIS is a word in our vocabulary today, and we're reminded over and over again. But you know, a lot of this stuff took place throughout history. We talk about religious terrorism. The faiths that we criticize for that today aren't the only faiths that are guilty of that. And there's even been Christian terrorism over the years since that first century church was formed. And then we got other sins that many people don't consider as wrong, even our government. And you got terms like abortion. How do you think God feels about that? Galatians 5:21 sums it up rather well into what is sin and what we consider as sin. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And then Paul warned the Galatians. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. A more recent statement about sin from a general standpoint from C.S. Lewis out of his great book, Mere Christianity, he says, and out of that hopeless attempt has come nearly all that we call human history. Money, poverty, ambition, war, prostitution, classes, empires, slavery, the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. There's another category of sin out there that I think we often dance around, but if you really dig deep into this, this is the root of many sins, and that's pride. And pride can be a good thing. Yesterday morning, I got to go watch my 3-year-old granddaughter play soccer. and she finished her season. And she got a trophy for participating. I was so proud of her. Her parents were so proud of her. Pride can be good, right? But boy, pride can also be a disaster. The first part of pride that I talked about with Annie, my granddaughter, is pleasure or satisfaction because of an achievement. That's okay. We should lift people up when they achieve something. But there's other definitions of pride that is where we really get ourselves in trouble. A failure to accept and perceive the reality of our utter dependence on God. We think we're doing it and we're not giving God the credit. And I like this one. Sometimes I have to be careful because sometimes I resemble my remarks. Pride can be a peculiar kind of insanity caused by a lack of humility. I don't know who wrote that. I just copied it off the internet. So let's see what the word says about pride. A lot of talk about pride in Proverbs. I'll read two verses. Proverbs 8:13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. God hates pride. 16:18 in Proverbs. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit or an arrogant spirit before the fall. And again, I'll call him my man, C.S. Lewis. If a man thinks he is not conceited, he is very conceited indeed. And this one is another one that kind of, I get kicked in the head once in a while by the Spirit to wake me up when I'm complaining about how arrogant and proud somebody is. The more pride we have, the more other people's pride irritates us. So there's a message there, isn't there? So we have some terms in my title today, bondage, shackles. So let's start with bondage. If you look up a dictionary definition of bondage, it's the state of being a slave. So we better jump now over to slavery and slaves. A slave is a person who is legal property of another and is forced to obey them. We've seen that from a legal standpoint over history very vividly, even in our country. Slavery is the state of being a slave. And here's the part that I think hits home with the message. Excessive dependence on a devotion to something. And bondage, am I losing it? Oh. I figured all my beard hair would hold it up. Bondage is the state of being a slave. And so what does Jesus tell us about sin in John 8:34? Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Amen. So now we got shackles. What do you think about when you see shackles? Shackles are a pair of fetters, and I guess these are fetters then, connected together by a chain. I guess the fetters are around my ankles. Used to fasten a prisoner's wrists or ankles together. We've seen it, right? Some that go into prisons and do prison ministry probably see some of that. We see it on TV and the news when somebody's going to their hearing in court or whatever, and certainly in movies and shows. I want to focus on the word prisoner here, though, in the definition of shackles. A prisoner is, a one sense, it's a person captured and kept confined by an enemy, opponent, or a criminal. But I think the part that ties to sin is a prisoner is a person who is or feels confined or trapped by a situation or a set of circumstances. And that's where sin can get us individually and collectively. That brings us to what it is about sin that brings us down. Guilt. I think some sociologist or somebody like that wrote this because it's got those types of words in it here. But guilt is a cognitive or an emotional experience that occurs when a person believes or realizes, accurately or not, that he or she has compromised his or her own standards of conduct or has violated a moral standard and bears significant responsibility for that violation. I think it makes sense. Is there anybody in here that hasn't ever felt guilt? Is there anybody in here that might not be feeling guilt right now? James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. I want to kind of close this talking about another type of sin that I heard in a recent presentation that I was at, and it kind of ties into guilt. It's called the secret sin. Come on, we've all been there. I'll use myself as an example in a scenario. Stay up late at night working, right? You're on the computer, and you go on to that all-wonderful page of Google, and you're looking for something, right? And you see something that you didn't think you were going to see, and you look around. Yeah. Nobody's here. I'll just peek and see what this is all about. Well, guess what? Sometimes that one little click of the mouse leads to another click of the mouse, leads to another click of the mouse, right? But I wasn't alone, was I? Who's sitting right alongside me when I'm looking at Google? Jesus is right there. I can't shake him, okay? He's there. And he saw my secret sin. It's not so secret to him. But we carry some of these secret sins around in the form of guilt throughout our lives, for good portions of our lives. And sometimes it's really difficult to get rid of that. And I want to close with a story that I heard in this presentation, and it's about a 9-year-old boy and his dead dog. The story starts that there's a 9-year-old boy, and he's got a dog, and he just loves his dog, and the dog dies. So dad tells him, son, here's a shovel. I'll let you bury Fido, or whoever he was. Go out in the woods behind the yard here, dig a hole, and bury him. So the son comes back and says, yeah, I buried him. But he didn't tell his dad that when he buried him, he left his tail sticking out of the ground. So the next day, the 9-year-old boy went out and grabbed that tail and brushed some dirt away and pulled that dog out to see if he came back to life. Nope, still dead. So he buried it again, but left that tail out. And this went on for a few days, and the father started getting a little curious as to why every day the boy was taking the shovel back out into the woods, and so he followed him out there and saw what he was doing, and he stopped him and said, son, dig the hole a little deeper. Bury the tail, too. We got to bury our guilt, don't we? So here I stand before you. You know my name. I'm Tony Gregory. I've sinned. I continue to sin today, and I'll continue to sin for as long as I live. Is there any hope for me?
Thank you, Tony. Does he need good news?
Yes.
You see, it all started with pride, as Tony said. Because Lucifer was the one who said, I'm all that. Yes, God, you created me, but I'm better than you. I will exalt myself above your throne. I will be the Most High. Because, you know, God really doesn't know what he's talking about, right? Kids, same thing you say about your parents, right? Parents don't really know what they're talking about. You know? But, you know, God created us. He knows exactly what's going on with us. But Satan is the one who said, I will be the Most High. And then what happened is that he went up and he tried to overthrow God. The audacity. Who do you think you are? And then not only did he realize that, well, he couldn't overthrow God, so he got angry and then he tried to attack every single thing that God tried to create. God created man on the earth. He attacked the first man. He attacked the first people born to man. And since then, he's been attacking mankind. You see, in Romans 5, verse 12, it says that, as by one man, sin entered the world. And you see, sometimes we have a tendency of looking at this and saying, well, it's Satan's fault and it's Adam's fault. If Adam didn't, you know, eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in today. You're wrong. Because as I said last week, every single day we have the opportunity to choose life and choose death. What choices do we make? And I dare say that some of us choose death. Because a choice that's not for God is a choice for death, right? It's one side or the other, right? There's no neutral ground. You're either for God or you are dead. I was about to say against, right? You're either for God or you're dead. You see, as a result of the sin and the pride and everything else that we have going on in our lives, we have lived a life of sin. In addition to all the troubles that we are going through, all of the things that we are going through in our personal lives, what we have now, we have to deal with issues of depression and anxiety, you know, sexual molestation, you know, these demons that tend to come up in the past. And I'm not going to stand here and assume that none of you all have had any, that you all have not had any of those experiences, because just based on the numbers, I would say that there are about 6 or 7 people in here who's experienced that. It's a horrible thing. And these things don't just go away by themselves. Sexual addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. I mean, you name the addiction, you name the disease, you name the mental illnesses, you name the cancer, right? You name it. We're experiencing it. We face that day in and day out. These are some of the chains that hold us back. Does he need good news?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you need good news?
Yes.
Do you need good news?
Yes.
I got good news for you. And here's the good news. You see, what happens is this. In Romans 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is
eternal life.
Eternal life. Right? Who sinned? We did. Who deserved death? We did. But what did Jesus Christ say? He says, I got you. Right? He said, here it is. Here's the good news. God created us for a purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Satan came along and he kind of like botched the thing. And here we are thinking that, well, it's all over. I messed up. You know, there goes my opportunity. And God says, no. I started a work in you, and I will finish that work. Right? Isaiah 9, verse 6, if you have your script Bible, you can turn there. It says that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Luke 4, verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The scripture that was read earlier. He, the Spirit, has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Do we have poor among us?
Yes.
He has sent me to proclaim freedom to Tony.
Amen.
He has sent me to proclaim freedom to Carol.
Amen.
He has sent me to proclaim freedom to Kelsey. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to Mike and Vanessa. Where are you? He sent freedom to you, girl. Everyone, God has sent freedom. And what he says in Matthew, he says, come. Come all ye who labor and are heavily burdened. Do we have people that's heavily burdened? And what does he say? He says, I will give you rest. Aren't you tired of carrying them burdens? Are you tired yet of all those chains that hold you down and shackle you? Right? Chains so that you want to feel free, but you can't feel free. You want to move, but you cannot move. Chains so that anytime someone wants to, you heard the terminology, yank your chain, right? They have control over you. This is not what God intended. John 10:10 verse says, the thief comes, that's Satan, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, have come to give you life, and that you would live life abundantly. Jesus is the one, and the good news is that in spite of whatever it is that you find yourself in spite of whatever mess you find yourself in spite of whatever mess someone else puts you into. Remember, there are people who can do stuff and then you get messed up, right? In spite of whatever mess you find yourself in or people put you into, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer to the problems of your life. You see, there is power in the name of Jesus. Ain't that right? You can come on up. There is hope in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is peace in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says that you are the one that I love, right? No other. I love all my children. You see, there's joy in the name of Jesus. There's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There's redemption. Any people here in here need redemption? There's redemption in the name of Jesus. And here's the biggie. You might want to take notes on this. There is salvation only in the name of Jesus. Now, with such power, is there any reason that anyone will not want Jesus? None. Because Jesus is our only hope. We've done it our way. Okay? Sometimes you look at your kid, you tell your kid, don't touch the fire. No toca. Don't touch it. And what does the kid do? Goes to touch. And every time you come, slap the hand. But that don't work. And sometimes you just got to say, okay, go ahead. Get burnt. But you see, God doesn't want us to get burnt, but some of us been burnt, right? I dare say that everyone inside has had some type of burn some way, somehow, some form or fashion. But what God says is that I don't want you burnt, right? What God is saying, I love you, right? I want to remove them chains that you're carrying right now. And what God is saying is like, listen, people, what God is saying is, I want you. I will take you just the way you are. I ain't going to keep you the way you are, right? But you're all dirty, you're all messed up, you're all, you know, messed up in the head. You got dirt all over you, you're bruised up, you fall down, you bruised, you got bloody all over. God's saying, come. Come just as you are. And he dusts you off. Right? He removes the shackles. Right? Is there anyone in here right now who's got shackles? Anyone in here who wants Jesus? Maybe it is that it's that time where, you know, Jesus is talking to you right now and he's saying, listen, Kenneth, I want you. You see, a lot of us have been going to church a lot of times, right? We've been going to church since we're this young. And if you're all anything like me, I used to play in church, right? Church was a game for me. I played church, right? If you're anything like me, you played church too. But there comes a time when you need to make a decision. And if it is that you are one of those people that you really haven't made that decision, you're sort of like towing the line, you know, you're testing the water. If you're one of those people and you think that right now is the time that you need to make a decision, all I need you to do is to put your hand up. Forget the neighbor next to you, right? I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up wherever you stand, wherever you're sitting, and we'll pray. I don't see hands yet. I see one hand. Hands are going up. Amen. God is calling you. And God is saying, enough. Yes. Enough church. Yes. Enough playing church. Yes. Because I see your heart. I see that you weren't really serious. And what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing that you're starting to get the picture. I'm starting to see that you're starting to get the picture, children. And God is looking at you and God is saying, you know, you're getting it. You're coming along. This is real. This is warfare. Yeah, yeah. And you got to get aside. Take aside. And God is saying the chains that you have that's been shackling you for so many years, all of those things that's been bondage to you got to be removed. And Jesus is the one to do it. In the name of Jesus, great God, thank you. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, for even in spite of the times that we neglected you, where we turned away from the tree of life and we embraced wholeheartedly the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Even during those times, Father, your prevenient grace was with us, loving us, reaching out to us, chasing after us, Father, and longing for us. And we thank you, great God in heaven, that you never gave up on us. Father, you did not wait for us to cry out to you. But you humbled yourself and you sent your son, Jesus the Christ, to pay that penalty, to die for me, for us, God. And we thank you, great God in heaven, that you have not wavered from your purpose for us. We thank you, great God in heaven, that you continually pursue us in spite of us. And Father, we thank you, great God in heaven, that in spite of the fact that we are who we are, that you still love us. Praise you, Father in heaven. And here we are, great God in heaven, with arms outstretched. Pick us up. Take us into your bosom, great God in heaven, because that is who you are. You are our daddy. Thank you, great God in heaven, for what you're doing with us. Thank you, great God in heaven, for showing up. That even during those times when we're experiencing turmoil in our lives, tribulation, Father in heaven, you are always there, right by our side, walking us along the way, Father. And those times when we think that you're not present, you are present. Because when we are decreased, you increase, Father. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. And we thank you, great God in heaven, for your promise. We thank you, great God, for your power. Because your power is what breaks our chains. Because in you, great God in heaven, there is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
If you believe there's power in the name of Jesus, sing it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
What does the power do?
To break every chain.
Not yet.
Break every chain. No. Break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
What's the power for?
To break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
There is power in the name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. To break every chain, to break every chain. chain.
Tell us about the army.
There's an army rising up. Yeah.
Acknowledge the power.
Break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain.
Amen. Amen. The power of Jesus heals. The power of Jesus gives peace. The power of Jesus removes all pain and suffering. The power of Jesus removes generational curses. Yes. The power of Jesus redeems us from the dead. The power of Jesus forgives us for all our sins. The little itsy bitsy one that Tony spoke about and the big, huge, humongous ones. Sin is sin. The power of Jesus covers all sin. And with such power, Jesus, the one who came to die, he is the power. He is the good news that we've been waiting for. He is the one, he is the only one that has that power. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. We've learned that lesson. Try Jesus. Because on that night, we're going to ask the ushers to start coming down. On that night when Jesus was betrayed because of us. On that night he was betrayed, he was at dinner. And he took bread from the table and he broke it. And he says, "This is my body, broken for you." He says, "Every time you eat this bread, I want you to remember what I've done for you." It also says that he took the cup containing the wine of the vine, and he says, "This is the cup of the new covenant, a new covenant that I'll be making with you." And he says, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. And every time that you take of this cup, every time you drink of the fruit of the vine, remember what I've done for you." Because we know, what did he do? He died. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. Why? He died as a demonstration of his love for you and his love for me. So as we partake of these elements, you can go ahead and start. As we partake of these elements, I want you all to remember, what is it that Jesus has done for you? What did Jesus do for you? Jesus broke those chains. He broke those chains. Think about the chains that you have in your life that Jesus needs to break. What is that chain that's been holding you back all this time? What is that chain that Jesus needs to break? God, our Father in heaven, keep playing. Lord God, our Father in heaven, thank you for the precious body broken for us. God, the blood of your Son shed for us, great God, to break every chain. Every chain of bondage, Father, that holds us and that separates us from you. We acknowledge and we accept this, Father. God's people said, Amen.